Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, Jimmy, for a special guest and a longtime friend of the program.
Well, we do, and I've known Ron a long time, does a terrific job with Tiger Rag. It covers LSU, Ron Higgins. Ron, how you doing?
I'm good. Jimmy and I don't know each other since we had futures, so we know it's been a long time.
That's right. Yours is so bright, you had to wear shades.
Yeah.
I never had that problem. And by the way, you got somebody getting married in your family, is that right?
Yeah, my younger son, Jack. I'm getting him off scholarship next year, so I'll be good.
Uh-huh. There's a walk-on, or walk-out.
That's right.
Yeah.
A walk-out.
I wanted to ask you about LSU and Mississippi State. First off, I think it's an intriguing matchup because I don't know what you're going to get out of Mike Leach and KJ Costello. I think there's a chance that they could rack up a few yards against LSU. Do you see LSU having any trouble with the Bulldogs?
Well, LSU had a tinge of trouble last year in Starkville. I mean, it wasn't your typical LSU blowout. I mean, Joe Burrow had his pants pulled down during the game one time by a state rusher. And afterwards, after the game, he said, I heard there's going to be a full moon in Starkville tonight. So, State always gives LSU a little bit of trouble. And of course, they won in Tiger Stadium a few years ago when Dak Prescott was quarterback. Yep. It could be trouble from the standpoint of LSU doesn't know quite what it's getting with Mississippi State as far as a new quarterback, a new defensive coordinator from San Diego State, and then trying to figure out how Leach is going to play some of the people that are coming back. So, yeah, I mean, I think the LSU's prepared for this all summer. They've looked at game film of Washington State, San Diego State, and Mississippi State. So they've looked at all three. They feel really good about their defense. They feel like their defense probably is a strong point of their team right now. Overall, the offense has been pretty decent in preseason.
With all the players that LSU lost, a Heisman Trophy winner, 14 draft picks, a couple of 30 players opting out, do you see LSU as the number two team in the West and the biggest challenge to Alabama?
Yeah, I think it all really depends how well Miles Brennan, the quarterback, plays. LSU lost with graduation, with NFL draft choices, with transfers, with guys opting out. They lost 32 people from last year's team. 32.
Mm.
But they feel good about the people they have, their recruiting classes. It really depends how well Miles Brennan plays, and they think he'll play well. He has a stronger arm than Burrow, but he doesn't. You know, obviously, he doesn't have Joe's as far as intelligence yet of knowing where to go to ball on every play and not putting the team in bad plays. And that's one thing Burrow did great last year, was hardly ever threw a bad pass and put his team in a bad play. But also, he's got some intriguing young players. Starting two freshmen. Both on offense, Eric Gilbert, tight end, who was the number one tight end in the nation last year. He's 6'5 and 249 and runs like a wide receiver. And they may split him out to the wide receiver. And, of course, when Jamar Chase went to the pros, somebody else had to step into the wide receiver spot. And, of course, you know this guy is from Louisiana. When you hear this name, Kayshawn Boutte. That's got Louisiana dripping all over it, Kayshawn Boutte. And he's played really well in preseason. He's a deep threat. They have three really good running backs. They like all of them. It's pretty optimistic. But he knows, you know, he was saying earlier this week, you know, hey, look, we're going to make mistakes. You know, where we got a lot of young people, we're going to make mistakes. But I like the talent of this team, and so they're kind of ready to go, man. They're tired of hitting each other like everybody else is.
Ron. Obviously, with everything that continues to swirl about when it comes to COVID-19, there were a lot of headlines generated by some of the things that either one LSU has experienced or Coach Orgeron talking about. Perhaps just about everybody on his team has had it. Do you think that's anywhere close to being the case, or is it just about everybody has either had it or been quarantined? What do you think the numbers have been like for LSU?
I think probably had it or been quarantined. Ed just kind of generalizes, but I mean, he was at least he was being honest about it. You know, LSU's AD next day said, well, Ed's kind of honest to a fault. Well, yeah, that's nice. Ed Orgeron will say as much as he can say, because when he was at Ole Miss, frankly, he lied a lot. He didn't tell the truth a lot. He learned after that, you know, to try to be as transparent as he can. And I thought it was good he said that. I do think a lot of them have had it. And I think he's, you know, the disheartening thing is people automatically think, LSU got all these people sick so they can, you know, won't have to test them again for 90 days. Nobody's trying to get anybody sick or positive tests. It just happened to work out that way. And, I mean, everybody has had their, you know, their bouts where they've gone through a lot of guys out. I mean, I know Tennessee couldn't scrimmage one weekend because they had a bunch of people out. Mm-hmm. LSU, I guess about 2-3 weeks ago, almost their entire offensive line had tested positive except for a couple of guys. So I think everybody's kind of gone through their streaks, no matter how much you try to prevent it.
Well, and that's probably going to be the uphill climb as far as keeping everybody eligible and available in terms of the first of these 10 games and then the all SEC slate that's in front of us. As long as you've been covering the Southeastern Conference, how do you think Greg Sankey has handled it? And what do you think in terms of this unprecedented schedule we're about to watch play out?
Well, first of all, I think Greg's done a really good job of kind of taking it step by step and never promising too much. I thought it was a really good move when they decided to start the season late. Kind of gave him a good picture of what else was going on elsewhere. You could kind of see how some people were handling this and what was going on as far as how many people were testing positive. And I thought it was good that they took it nice and slow. And I'm really eager to see the 10-game SEC schedule. I think it's going to be a blast, man. I mean, right off the bat, you get great matchups. Like in the second week, you got Alabama and A&M and Georgia and I think Auburn the second week.
Right.
So you get some tremendous matchups right off the bat. You don't have to wait till 4 or 5 games into the season. It's crazy. I think there's some interesting games the first week. As you said, LSU and State's an interesting game. I think Tennessee and South Carolina's an interesting game too. And a lot of people the Auburn game this weekend that they'll have their hands full with Kentucky. So it's going to be fun. I kind of like the 10-game schedule. I don't know if they'll probably never play it again, but I would like to see at least 9 SEC games.
I guess Ron Higgins with Tiger Rag. Ron, do you think that there's a chance we'll see more early upsets because we don't know how many players were out? We don't know how many have tested positive for COVID or been in contact tracing. So do you think that'll lead to more bizarre outcomes?
Yeah, it might. You test 3 times a week, and that last test is on Wednesday. So you better pass the last test if you want to play Saturday. And, again, I mean, teams aren't required to disclose who's out. So, to me, it's going to be a lot like when the media goes into a football practice, a daily practice for the first 10 minutes, and then they get thrown out. The first 10 minutes are looking at rosters and checking, see who's there and who's not. And that's going to be the same way with games. I mean, you're going to get the roster. The pregame warm-ups, you're going to have binoculars out looking, see who's there and who's not. Maybe the team wins it all this year has the best trainers and doctors, honestly, to keep everybody healthy. You know, most valuable trainer, most valuable doctor, because it can be really crazy. I mean, your season could be going great, and all of a sudden your star offensive player gets, is out because of COVID. Oh, man. Yeah. If I'm a Vegas bookie this year or odds maker, I would just start drinking heavily right now. I mean, really.
I did not know until I saw where Ed Orgeron said that if you test positive, you don't get tested for 90 days. Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that. Yeah, I think it's an SEC deal, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I wasn't aware of that, which I guess it is better if you get it early, then you're not – well, I guess you're not supposed to have to worry about it for 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, if you test positive, and come back from it, you don't have to test again for 90 days. So, I mean, obviously, All those, some of the people who were out for Tennessee, that it helped them. You hate to say this thing helped anybody, but it, in that sense, it's advantageous if you, a lot of your guys already have had it or you know, are tested positive.
Ron, how do you see the Western Division stacking up?
I like Alabama. I think Alabama's going to be a little mission this year. They always play pretty angry the year after they don't win a division or SEC. They always play a little bit angry, and I think they're pretty good. I like LSU. I think they've got an outstanding defense. They've got some just loaded defensive backfield, loaded at, got all new linebackers, but they're all really, really good. And then it's kind of a toss-up. I mean, everybody's hot on A&M, and they're just hot on A&M. And until A&M really kind of shows me something, I don't know if I can be hot on A&M. And Auburn's always kind of up and down. You never know what you'll get with Auburn. So it's kind of murky after the top two, because the rest of the league is just, I mean, the division means State and Ole Miss and Arkansas aren't going to be factors. I mean, you know, will have some interesting press quotes. I mean, from Mike Leach and Kiffin. I mean, already today. I mean, Kiffin. Leach was just outstanding, talking about his first and only time he coached in Tiger Stadium was in '98, and Kentucky won. Kentucky won the game 39-36. He talked about the experience of Tiger Stadium, and he said, "I went by the live tiger and made sure that somebody else was closer to the tiger than me. So if the tiger escaped, he'd eat that guy before he got to me." So that's what kind of what you know. So I see Alabama and LSU. I just I know LSU lost a ton of players, but Ed's done a really good job of recruiting. And again, it really depends how well their quarterback plays. And then LSU's always had pretty good quarterbacks when they had 3 years to marinate.
That's true. Now with Leach, he takes the job in Starkville, has pretty significant misstep when it comes to social media and a tweet that he sent out that really ruffled some feathers. In fact, had a player that left the program because of it. Do you think he's been able to put that behind him? And what do you think of the Bulldogs this year?
I mean, it'll be interesting because, you know, when you come in and as a new coach, especially if you've got a radically different system than you had before, you're trying to, you know, put square pieces in round holes. I mean, it's tough. Do guys really fit, you know, with the positions you want them to fit in, and you know, because you did recruit them, and they're not specific to that, you know, what you like. So it could be a little crazy. I mean, I think Garrett Schrager, the guy who was a quarterback last year, they shifted him to wide receiver or tight end, one of the two, or they made him a wide receiver. Kind of like a Matt Jones type, honestly, a big guy who has athletic talent. And he didn't want him sitting, at least he didn't want him sitting out as a backup quarterback. And so he moved him somewhere else. I think it'll be entertaining whether they can stop anybody. I don't know. And Ole Miss, with Kiffin, I really don't know what they're going to have, honestly. I just don't know. They're kind of like the West has really just, you know, they have all the new coaches just about. I mean, they got State and Ole Miss, you know, in
Arkansas.
And so in Arkansas. So you got all three of those guys. And honestly, Arkansas just hadn't been very good at all. I mean, they've been Vanderbilt-like for a while. And of course, you know, Vandy has had its moments in the past few years, but it hadn't played well at all, mostly.
One other thing, who you like between Florida and Georgia?
Florida. I'm not like Florida. I never thought I'd say that. I'm not a big Dan Mullen guy. But I just think Georgia's, they're still, I mean, it's a quarterback situation. And with Georgia, they really have to open their offense up. And hopefully they have the receivers now that they can do it with. But watching Georgia play last year was like watching some of Les Miles' old offenses. Just really old school, you know, I formation or one back or run the ball a bunch, didn't throw the ball very well football. And I mean, if he gets the right quarterback and right receivers to change his offense and open up even more, they could probably live up to their potential. So, I think Georgia was the favorite going in, but after all the quarterback stuff looked in the preseason, I think Florida's kind of jumped ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, Ron, we appreciate it. Always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much, and enjoy this weekend, first weekend for SEC football.
I'm just thank God the season's here, man. I never thought I'd get here. Really didn't.
Yeah, me either. All right. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.
See ya.
That's Ron Higgins, covers LSU for Tiger Rag.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.